Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that'll catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work. Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. And this is the inaugural episode of the Store Builders Podcast. My name is James Sowers, and I'm your host. And I'm super excited to be joined by Mr. Chris Lemma today. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. I'm so glad to have you here. I know the folks at home are excited to listen. So maybe the best way to kick things off today would be to hear just a little bit about what you're up to these days and what the vision here is for the Store Builders Podcast, what we're delivering to the folks at home.
Sure. So I think at the core of it, I spend my days building out a very dedicated platform for a specific kind of store. So if you're building an online store using WooCommerce, when you do the comparisons between WooCommerce and Shopify, feature for feature, they come pretty close to each other. And then the challenge every time is someone writes something like, but with Shopify, you don't have to worry about hosting at all. And with WooCommerce, you're going to have to figure out all this stuff, right? And so that's the stuff I spend time on. How do we build out kind of a turnkey, almost a platform as a service for WooCommerce over at a company called LiquidWeb, right? Which is a $100 million host. I'm the VP of products over there. And I spend my time doing that. So when we talk about like, what am I up to lately? It's always the same thing. It's worried about how we build a dedicated WooCommerce platform for stores so that they can turn it up and get going as fast as possible.
Right. And that's a perfect segue into what we're going to be talking about today, which is how can you finally launch that e-commerce shop that you've been dreaming of without breaking the bank? So how can you get started? How can you get that experience? And you know, I think that the best place to start when we're talking about a topic like that is, why is this an attractive option in the first place? Why is having an e-commerce store an attractive way to be an entrepreneur and build a business in 2018?
Yeah, it's a great question, because if you weren't paying attention, right? If you were just kind of doing your thing, and you remember back in the old days when no one had a blog, right? No one had a website, no one had a personal brand, none of that stuff. And then all of a sudden, everybody had one, right? And the same thing over the last couple of years, you go, wait a second, if I add the total number of eBay stores and the total number of Etsy stores and the total number of Amazon stores, I think I have more people than on the planet. Like, this is crazy. How is it possible everybody has a store? And you're like, yes, because that's marketplace commerce, right? Where essentially you're just, you know, it's like a swap meet, right? You put a little stand in a big, broad marketplace and you're like, here's my place. But more and more people are selling, right? More and more people are selling online. And then, of course, all you have to do is spend a little bit of time on Google to discover that people are also selling knowledge, right? Information, education. So membership sites and online courses are selling like hotcakes, right? You get Teachery and Teachific and I mean, like every other platform for just online education. And what you realize is, in fact, today, the Supreme Court just announced sales tax could be collected, right, by the state, even if you don't have a physical presence in the state, right? And go, whoa, what's going on? Well, in 1992, when the first rulings about that happened, the notion was this online sales thing is just not a big deal. So don't worry about it. Treat it like a catalog sales. Today, the Supreme Court said e-commerce has transformed the landscape, right, of our economy. And so we need to rethink things. If you think about the core of the question is, why in 2018 would you put up a store? You're like, because e-commerce has changed the landscape. And everybody has, whether it's a marketplace e-commerce or a Shopify store or a WooCommerce store or something, people are making money online. And if you want to, if you think, well, I have some knowledge or I have some information, right? I think I saw more than 1 billion people view makeup tutorials on YouTube, right? Wow. In a given week. And you're like, what? What? Just makeup tutorials? Right? You go, yeah. And there are people who are building businesses where they're doing that kind of training, right? Protected content that you pay for to have access. And you may pay $9 a month or $19 a month, but you have access to protected content, and that's e-commerce too, right? And so you just go, hey, today there is no easier time, right? Without breaking the budget, to spin up an online presence and generate revenue from it. And I have not met a single soul yet who's like, you know, I have enough money. I have enough revenue. I don't want any more, right? So if you can generate revenue off your knowledge or off products that you build or products you make or off other people's products or off designs you have and you create a t-shirt store, I mean, the options are plentiful. The effort is low and the opportunity is high. The core of the question isn't why would you do it? The core of the question is why wouldn't you do it?
Right, right. And maybe the short answer is just it's easier than it's ever been before. I mean, if you think about 20 or 30 years ago, if you wanted to open up a store, you had to have a storefront, you had to have a lease, you had to have logistics and have trucks coming in every day, you had to manage inventory. I mean, all that stuff still happens, but it's a heck of a lot easier in 2018 than it was back, you know, when maybe my parents were growing up or something like that. So
even myself, right? The first store I built, 1997, online e-commerce store. We spent $100,000. We had a team of three people. We worked for 6 months, all so that we could just integrate a shopping cart transactional engine from authorized.net with an online code base so we could collect money, right? And I can do the same thing with WooCommerce and authorized.net as a plugin in less than 60 minutes, right? Wow. Today, yeah. One person, right? So you're like, oh, it's never been easier.
Right, for sure. And it's never been more affordable. So, I mean, I think we've definitely established that this is an attractive option. I mean, the folks that are interested, I don't think they need any more convincing as to whether or not they should get started. But I think maybe the next question is, you know, how should I structure my store? I mean, there are different types of stores you can have. You could have a drop shipping store, fulfillment by Amazon. We've got all different kinds of models. You can have direct inventory that you store in a warehouse or something, ship out yourself. What are some of those different ones? I mean, those are a few, but like, how would you categorize the different types of e-commerce stores? And then maybe if there's some kind of priority or some kind of ease of startup or reduced startup costs for one versus another, what do those look like?
Yeah. So I sat down with a person yesterday who has just started a blog, right? She's a couple days into her blog. She's been writing articles each day. She's really excited and she's targeting science fiction, right? And not just is she writing about science fiction, she's looking at TVs and movies and reviews, but she's also trying to take a bent towards educators, right? So how do you write a guide for a teacher or a homeschool parent to teach science through sci-fi movies or TV episodes or whatever, right? And I said, it's great. Do you have an online store? And she's like, no, why would I have an online store? I'm like, well, you're aggregating an audience. They're reading your content. Would they want to wear a t-shirt that said all sci-fi all the time? And she's like, oh, yeah, but I don't want a house full of t-shirts, right? And I don't want to ship t-shirts. I go, oh, stop. So I bring her over, sit her down next to me, and I pull up Printful, right? Printful.com, Printful. And I said, let me show you how this works, right? So we literally did this. It was about 15 minutes of sitting on my computer. And I said, let's create a store on Printful. Then let's connect it to a WooCommerce instance. So I spun up a site that had WooCommerce on it and I made the connection. And then I went and said, let's upload a logo that was just text, right? We opened up a file, created text, and it just said all sci-fi all the time. Uploaded the picture and then said, okay, what kind of products? Oh, well, we want the Gildan, tri-blend t-shirt. Okay. And we want it in all these sizes and we want it in this one color. And it did it and it automatically created everything. And then I said, okay, it's now on your site. And we went to the WooCommerce store and the products were already there, right? Products and everything were there. And she's like, are you kidding me? Did we just build a store? I'm like, yeah, the store, like this was a sample store. We could put it on your site, but this is a sample store. We just did it. It was super easy. It was super fast. But more importantly, right? I went on to this sample store and I bought a shirt. And she's like, did that really happen? I'm like, yeah, I bought the shirt. Now here's what happens. Printful takes the cost of the shirt out, you know, so I collect all the money. So let's say I collect $20 and Printful says, okay, I'm taking 14 out. It's leaving $6 of profit in your bank and it's going to put it in a box and it's going to ship it to me, my address, and you don't do anything. And she goes, are you kidding? So I don't have to have the t-shirts in my house? Nope. And I don't have to ship anything? Nope. I don't have to do any fulfillment? Nope. I don't have to create the product? Nope. You don't have to do anything. So even people who aren't really ready to run a full store, right? But if they have an audience, bloggers, right? If you're writing, you have an audience. If you're a podcaster, you have an audience. And you're like, hey, yeah, I think people would buy a shirt with my logo on it or buy a shirt with my name on it or buy a shirt with a pithy quote on it. And you're like, yeah, I can create a t-shirt. So my favorite entry, right? If you're doing, you know, like you've collected an audience, but you're doing nothing and you're like, you're telling me I could spin up a store in an afternoon? And I'm going, yeah, no question. And, you know, a WordPress website's free, a WooCommerce, the plugin is free, Printful charges you, basically the plugin's free and you charge only on the shirts you sell. So you only pay as you go, right? You're like, wow, when we talk about doing it on without breaking the bank, I could spin up a t-shirt store without breaking the bank easily. And they go, yeah, it's not the only model, right? But it is a fantastic early model to say, well, let me see if this makes sense, right? I know designer friends who design t-shirts that way. And Printful does more than fulfillment for just t-shirts. They have a couple other products too. And Printful's not the only player that plays in that space, right? It's the one that I enjoy the most. But that's definitely a model. If you're in the physical goods world, like if you create something or if you bring, if you've bought stuff and you do happen to have, you know, I have a buddy of mine that has a mini warehouse in one of the rooms of his house and he has a whole bunch of stuff that he travels and he brings it in and he has it all there. Then you could definitely ask yourself, what about fulfillment by Amazon, right? What if I just take this whole room of stuff, ship it to Amazon, build up the store, make the connection to FBA, and then have Amazon deliver it, right? And I don't have to store it and manage it. You go, yeah, that's another model. And then of course, there's the actual, like, I'm going to create the product. I'm going to store the product. I'm going to ship the product. I have a buddy of mine that runs a cigar store that way, right? And he has a whole mini warehouse in the whole lounge and store, one that is the supply side for the store and the lounge, and the humidor there, but he has another section that's just for online orders, right? And so he's doing it all, right? The orders come in and then he, you know, gets a guy that packages it and ships it out. You can totally do that too. That's normally what we think of as e-commerce. And that may be the third option, right? Like not necessarily the first one, because there are easier ways to get into it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think some of that decision might depend on what your current situation is. So like you said, if you're a blogger and you have an established brand and an established audience, maybe the easiest first step to take is the t-shirt model or stickers or something like that, that have your brand on them or some kind of slogan. And frankly, you said you can spin it up in the afternoon. It sounds like you could do it over lunch. And then in the afternoon, you send the email to your mailing list and you convert 1,000 people there. And you're making some money today, theoretically. But then like maybe if you already have a physical storefront in your hometown and you're okay with storing inventory, you just want to go online, there are options to do that too. And then maybe the fulfillment by Amazon is somewhere in between where it's like, I got a warehouse, Amazon takes care of everything. But there is like a physical space storing maybe supplements or something like that. So yeah, I think maybe that decision point is about where you're at today and where you want to be and what the next best step is for you. But the point there is there's a spectrum and there are options available to you. And e-commerce as an industry is something that can accommodate any kind of existing business type. So I think that's incredibly interesting. And somebody that's not super familiar with e-commerce as a platform or a revenue channel would like to know that. And that's probably a source of relief for them, I have to think. So, you know, we're talking about like the types of e-commerce stores you can start, but what does it take? I mean, we're talking about there's a certain level of financial capital. A lot of the tools you referenced already are free. And of course, we're going to link those up in the show notes. I'm sure there are paid alternatives that have additional features. But then you're going to have accounting, you're going to have marketing and sales. Like what just at a high level, what are the different components or business functions that are handled that are going to be startup costs or startup considerations for rolling out a store this week?
Yeah, it has never been cheaper to do this than today, right? Like I know we said that already, but you can't get around that. If you have already built an audience, right? I'm not saying you have to, but if you've already built an audience, it has never been easier because you're like, I don't have a lot of sales and marketing costs, right? I don't have to worry about that. If I'm building t-shirts, for example, right? I don't have to have a lot of costs in terms of I don't have to have a lot of financial backing to spin this up because I literally pay as I go. And in fact, if you use, I'm going to find the other name because there's another player where just like Printful, they do stuff, right? They let you, you know, create t-shirts and what have you, except that you collect all the money of the orders and then they, at the end of the month, they bill you for the supplies. Whereas Printful does the decrement right away. So like as they ship it out, these guys wait till the end, which means they're basically floating you. Right? Which if you're really tight on cash, it's even crazier, right? You're like, you mean I can just go spin up a whole bunch of stuff and not worry about costs until I don't make the money. I get to keep the money, use the money, and then I have to pay you at the end of the month. And you're like, that's interesting too. So when you think about financial dynamics, right? The amount of money you need to start in e-commerce is next to nothing, right? You can basically, and if you're doing drop shipping, we haven't even talked about drop shipping And there's a, you know, drop shipping that's good and drop shipping that's not as good. But drop shipping, if you've never done it, right, it's the notion of you selling other people's products, right? And so you can go to other people's catalogs, you can import those catalogs in, right? And suddenly your store has a whole bunch of products, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have products that I'm able to sell, right? And I'm able to sell to my customers or to any customers without you know worrying about anything, right? And you go, yeah, then you don't have to spend time and money building up products, right? So when you're looking at drop shipping, right, there are AliExpress is one that does this, and WooDropship is one that does this for WooCommerce specifically, where you take a plugin like WooDropship or you take a plugin like AliExpress and you connect it into your WooCommerce store, and then you're able to get to the AliExpress catalog of products. Now, what I don't recommend, right, is I don't recommend that you just straight up grab their whole catalog, put it in yours, right? Because you're going to be competing with 70 trillion other people doing the same thing. But let's say, right, that you were someone who said, I don't have any products, but I write a blog, or I have a set of friends, or I hang out and have poker night with guys, and I'm going to hand select 5 products from this AliExpress huge catalog that is like a wallet or a you know, a watch or whatever. Like, here are 5 products that I have custom selected and I put as an option to sell on my regular website or the site where I announce where we're going to meet for poker, you know, next Tuesday night or whatever. And you go, oh yeah, you can sell product like it, just because you like it and you go, this is the watch I like. You can sell a watch that you don't make. You can sell a watch that you don't have inventory of. You can sell a watch that you don't even ship. And it doesn't cost you anything, right? And so the notion today of selling physical products or selling knowledge or selling products that are created on the fly, right? As you do this automatic creation of a t-shirt simply because someone has said, yes, I want it, because all you did was create the logo. Financially, the costs are tiny, right? So you can start and not worry about financial capital. Software and tools, like we've talked about, I use WooCommerce for a lot, but you can do this with Shopify, right? You can do drop shipping and Shopify with no problem. Now Shopify, you're going to have a little bit of cost for the product itself. But you can do it with BigCommerce. You can do it with Shopify. You can use many different e-commerce platforms and do drop shipping or do auto fulfillment and product creation that way. So software tools are plentiful. Financial capital is low. Your time investment is minuscule. And you don't have to do a lot, right? So in terms of how big a team you have to build, right? You remember in the old days, if I was saying, oh, I'm going to spin up an e-commerce store, you're like, I need people in marketing, I need people in sales, I need people in support, I need people in product development, I need people in inventory, I need a team of 10 people, right? And you're like, no, I can do it me, right? And depending on how I do it, I don't have a lot of costs or a lot of infrastructure that I need to get started. So today, starting things is a lot different than starting even 5 years ago. There's a lot of tools that make this a lot easier. And so the reality is, right, when we talk about what do you really need, I keep coming back to this because I've said it a couple times, right? What you really need is a place where you can grab or gather an audience. And if you say, oh, but Chris, I don't have that audience, right? I don't know how to even get that audience and bring them back. And you know, someone will tell you, well, you do content marketing, you write, 6 months later, you'll have an audience. Well, today you don't even have to do that. You can buy a Facebook ad, right? And automatically, presto changer, you have an audience too, right? Now, again, you want to figure out where do you go with that audience, right? Right. I have a friend of mine who does fitness, right? And fitness is one of those high impacted, tons of people in it, but there are a lot of people making money online. She sells supplements, but she sells videos as well of her and her husband working out, right? And they work out when they're traveling in hotels, and they work out outside, and they work out at their house. And so they created these set of videos that are all about working out, but working out with regular stuff you have around the house, not working out at the gym with equipment. And so she's like, yeah, I go on Facebook and I create this little ad. And if people are trying to work from anywhere, right, work out from anywhere, she has a couple ads, she brings an audience, and then she sells the stuff from there, right? And you go, yeah. So even though the most important thing you need is an audience, today you can buy that audience as well.
Yeah, you know, and what I'm hearing there is we basically systematically dispelled a lot of the myths or assumptions or objections that somebody might have if they want to start an e-commerce store today. And they're saying, yeah, but I don't have a lot of money to start with. Okay, we took care of that. The financial capital commitment is very low. I'm not super tech savvy. Well, these tools, if you've ever used like PowerPoint, a lot of them can be drag and drop functionality. Like you can move things around the page. It's just editing text like in Microsoft Word. I mean, it's never been easier than it is today to kind of start up the site and move things around and get started on the tech side. And there are a lot of free tools to help you get started. If you're worried about not having maybe the business acumen, again, it's kind of done for you. There are existing inventory directories you can pull from. You don't have to get on a bunch of calls with suppliers or anything like that. The time commitment we talked about, if you don't have an audience, you can buy one effectively through pay-per-click ads and nurture that audience and grow a relationship with them there. And then frankly, if you're worried about doing this alone, there are plenty of communities out there for e-commerce store owners. And there are people that are 1, 2, 3, 10 steps ahead of you that are willing and able to reach out to you and help you grow your store from scratch. So like anything that's holding you back today, I think if you needed some kind of a jab in the back, if you will, or a kick in the pants, however you want to phrase it, to just get started and start getting experience, I think that we just handled that with that last question. I think, you know, that might lead into a next concern, which is if we have all these things, if we have the financial requirement, the software and tools and stuff, where can someone who's starting today afford to maybe cut corners is a negative term, but where can they kind of reserve their capital and where should they be doubling down as far as like creating a maximum effective e-commerce shop in the next, let's say 30 days? And then what can kind of wait until on the back end after they've validated their audience, their product and that kind of thing?
That's a great question. And I think one of the things we should kind of fork this question for just a second, because there's two kinds of audience that think about this question. It's if you're a store owner, right? How can you build this out? But also, what if you're a store builder and you build this for hire, right? If you build this for other people and you're like, okay, how do I manage this? A lot of times, and I'll start with a store builder for a second. A lot of times, a store builder thinks, I need to do everything. Like I need to load up all sorts of stuff and I need to solve every problem long before the customer has made any money, right? And you go, oh, no. Don't do that, right? It's not about cutting corners or pinching pennies. It's really about being strategic as you, in multiple iterations, circle back to that store and do successive launches, right? Launch once, launch again after that, launch again after that. Every new feature you roll out is another opportunity to tell your base, hey, here's something else we added, right? And so, When you think about it that way, if you're a freelancer or an agency and you're looking at like e-commerce and going, I don't know, it feels like I would have to invest a lot of money, buy a lot of tools, buy a lot of stuff before I could make a full store for my customer. I would flip the script, right? And I would challenge you when you're talking to that customer to be like, hey, to do exactly what you said, right? Which is let's validate the product. Let's validate the audience. Let's validate the pricing. So let's start with a simple store, right? Let's just get, so if you're like, oh, I have this audience. I think they would like to buy these coasters or these mugs or these t-shirts or whatever. And you're like, great. Let's start by just adding one little section to your site that does this. Or let's bring some watches or bring some wallets or whatever it is that you want to add. Just add a little component, not so that you're building a full-blown store, but how do we build just an e-commerce component to your site and see if we start generating revenue? Because here's what I know. If you're a store builder and you pitch a $5,000 project or a $10,000 project or a $50,000 project, and the store owner's like, I'm not sure, that's different than if you're like, hey, let's spend a couple $1,000 and get something on, and then they generate a couple $1,000 in revenue, right?
Right?
Then your customer is going to be pleading for you to build more features for the store because they're like, I'm flush with cash. Let's go do this, right? And you go, yeah, absolutely. So if you're a store builder, right? And especially if you're doing it for someone else, your best bet is to say, let's just get some baseline stuff so that people can buy. Then let's start adding some features. Cause you know, everybody is trained by Amazon as to features they like. Like, oh, I was at Amazon and I have a wish list feature. And you go, right, let's not launch with wish list, right? Let's circle back because then if I add the wish list feature, I can announce to the world, hey, heads up, now the store added the wish list so you can put it there and save it for later, right? And they're like, ooh, I should go check out your store. I forgot you had a store. So you can bring people back with new features. And as you can imagine, that's my answer for store builders. It's the same answer that I have for store owner, right? If you're just getting started building your own DIY, building your store, I go, hey, don't try and build Amazon as if you're like, I'm going to match all their features. I'm going to do it this weekend for $500. That's not going to happen, right? Start with the basics. Start by thinking about it as a test, as an experiment, as a way to generate validation data, right? That says, yes, my hypothesis works. People will buy t-shirts from me, right? I started a t-shirt store a couple years ago. I do it through Printful. And I basically just, I made t-shirts that I was wearing when I went to speak at a conference. So I would stand on stage and I would give this talk. And the talk would use the quote that was on my t-shirt. And then people would come up afterward and go, I love your t-shirt. Oh my God, it was so awesome. How can I buy it? I'm like, oh, just go to my store. You can buy the t-shirt, right? And I'd leave the stage. And then the next day I'd look and be like, oh, I sold 60 shirts, right? And you're like, it didn't cost me anything. There was next to no work, right? So figuring out ways to start and do things incrementally for store builders and store owners is the best advice I'd give them.
Sure. And to make that like super tactical and maybe quantify it in the form of a story, let's say you have a golf blog and you know that you write primarily about training exercises and training aids that somebody can use to lower their scores. Well, you wouldn't spin up a store with a t-shirt necessarily. You'd go find 5 training aids that are maybe out of an existing inventory and just start with that. And there are tools today, I think, that will allow you to carve out tiny little segments of your audience. And so you can start just by promoting those 5 products to 1,000 people on your 5,000 person list. And that's the first test. And if it resonates with them, then you announce it to the broader list, or you wait until you add 2 or 3 more products and you just kind of iterate that way. And really it's an evolution and you can grow along the way. So just another one of those objections that is getting squashed here on the episode today is basically, you know, if you think you have to build a perfect solution today, that's not the case. You can start small. You can start getting your sea legs, so to speak, and getting some experience with the platforms and the tools, and then grow from there, just like any other business.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And here's it, you know, just a tiny little tidbit. If you really want to test this, right, before you spin up your store, test it with affiliate links, right? Like even before you go full blown, like I'm going to build a little store component. If you're writing a golf blog and whatever, and you're like, this is my favorite golf bag, and this is my favorite golf club, and my putter, and my whatever, and put links to stores, but where you're getting an affiliate link, right? Even if it's an Amazon link, right, which doesn't pay a lot in affiliate, but if you have, you know, if you rep or work with a vendor or a store or whatever, and you just have that link, you can track how well is that link going out? How well are people taking my recommendation? And you'll get paid for that. But more importantly, you can even quantify how much you're getting paid, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm giving that guy, because if I'm only getting, let's say I'm getting 5% or 10%, I know exactly how much the other 90% is. I know how much I'm putting money in that guy's pocket, right? Would I like to put that in my pocket? Sure. So now let me flip out from affiliate and go into selling a product, right? So you can test it with affiliate links, or even outbound links if you're not getting paid, but you can test it with affiliate links to see, okay, how well is my recommendation, or how well is my pitch going in terms of buying something? And when it starts going well, you can go, okay, I should build something here, right? So it doesn't have to be a t-shirt, doesn't have to be a mug. It can be anything, right? That is in alignment with what you're doing. And then you're like, yeah, I'm going to try this out.
Yeah. And the exciting part about that is just what you touched on, is that can accelerate the growth of your top line revenue. I mean, if you're using Amazon affiliate links, that's usually a single digit percentage that you're getting back on the cost of that product. But depending on what kind of e-commerce structure you use, I mean, you can pocket 50% or more of the total cost of that item. So if you're selling a $100 golf bag and you sell it through your shop, you might make $50, whereas with Amazon affiliate links, you might make $6. And
exactly,
you can,
right.
And if you sell 20 of each item in each scenario, it's a lot more money coming from your e-commerce shop than sending business to Amazon.
Absolutely right.
Perfect. So, you know, we covered a lot of great stuff today. I know that we talked about a lot of the objections folks have that are holding them back from starting their e-commerce store. And we talked about the most critical parts of getting started. I mean, I think the only thing left for our audience to do is to take that first step today. We said we could spin up a store this afternoon. So you theoretically, depending on what time you're listening to this episode, you could get that done today and start launching it to your audience or building an audience immediately. Is there anything else before we leave that you would give as advice for somebody who does want to launch a store in the next 30 days? And then after that, can you tell the folks at home just where they can go to learn more about you and learn more about Store Builders?
Sure. So we host the Store Builders podcast at store-builders.com. You can find me at my blog at chrislema.com. I work as a VP of product over at Liquid Web. You can find me over there, liquidweb.com. And we have, of course, a dedicated hosted platform, a total solution with analytics and everything else over at liquidweb.com/products/managed WooCommerce hosting. And so you can check us out over there too. Maybe the easiest place to connect with me is on Twitter. That's at Chris Lema.
Perfect. Well, Chris, thank you so much for your time today. Of course, we're going to link all those resources up in the show notes, everything we've talked about today. You guys will be able to find those in the episode description. And Chris, just thanks for your time. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Awesome. Take care.
Yep. Take care.
All right. So there you have it. The inaugural episode of the Store Builders podcast is in the books, and I had so much fun talking to Chris today about how you can finally launch that e-commerce store you've been thinking of without breaking the bank and without investing a whole lot of time and energy just to get this idea off the ground and see if it's a good fit for you. So of course, today we talked about Chris and his personal and professional background, the work that he's doing with Liquid Web and his vision for the Store Builders podcast. And then we got into why e-commerce is even an attractive business venture to begin with, why it's something worth pursuing over maybe say a consulting engagement or an agency or another type of traditional online business. We also talked about different models for e-commerce shops and how drop shipping might be a little different than storing your own inventory or working through what we call FBA, fulfillment by Amazon, or even into the affiliate realm. So we talked about all those things and some resources there. We talked about how you need certain things to start an e-commerce store in 2018, a little bit of financial capital, some software, some tools, and of course some time. But frankly, it's never been easier to start a store than it is today. So if you are on the fence at all, if you're worried about any of those things, like I don't have enough money, or I'm not technically savvy enough to get started, or I don't have the time to get started, we systematically debunked all of those myths because it's never been easier. And it only takes one small step to start your journey today, and you can just build from there. And so if you want to get started now, if this is your first store, or if you just want to start a new store, but you want to kind of follow along and do it the right way, if you want to do that in the next 30 days, we covered everything you need to know in this first episode, and we're going to go a little bit deeper into each of those subjects in future episodes. So if you like what we're putting out, you can find more information at store-builders.com. And of course, you can find Chris doing work for Liquid Web, and we hope to see you back for the next episode and everyone thereafter. But of course, everything we talked about today will be linked up in the show notes and under the resources section for store-builders.com. So we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Take care.